look, Matt, as I said to quite a few people here in Australia, Brazilians never miss an opportunity, especially to open a new market or increase its sales. Brazil is the biggest export of beef in the world right now, and yet 80% of our market is domestic, so we have a huge market within Brazil. Now, in the long run, I think it wouldn't be viable because it's too far away, especially for live cattle. And I think in the long run, Brazil wouldn't be really interested in selling all the live cattle around unless Indonesia has a big problem and can't buy from anyone else, you know. Now, as a cattleman and a producer myself, I produce cattle, soybeans, and maize. I should add that if I'm producing cattle and I'm selling a steer that's not finished to my neighbor or to someone else to finish it off, they're obviously making money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing that, right?
Yes.
So I'm losing that money. So we're all about doing the full cycle and finishing off our cattle and taking all the way to slaughter.
Are you aware of any Brazilian cattle producers who are interested in this market opportunity?
Look, we usually do it through the slaughterhouses. We don't sell as individuals directly. We have cooperatives. I'm in the board of directors of Cattlemen Association, cooperative, our union. But we don't actually sell it straight. It's through our biggest plants and slaughterhouses. So I would have to be back to Brazil to talk to a few guys to know. But as I said, I don't think they would be keen on doing it in the long run because, to tell you the truth, just a month ago, because of the Russia problem with Ukraine and European market and so forth, they increased by 70% the purchase of Brazilian meat. And there I include beef, pork, and poultry.
Wow.
And that meant $300 million just last month. And by doing that, they dropped off a couple markets momentarily. So that's how fast it changes. And that's our drive to really sell boxed beef and frozen meat and stuff like that, not live cattle.
My understanding is Indonesian importers have already visited Brazil.
Yes, that's true. And I actually met with a couple of amazing people from Indonesia here, a very big businessman and a professor, and learned a lot from the country. And I think curiosity is what's driving that. And as I told you, if they have a big problem, like it happened with Australia before that, for some political reason, the sales of live cattle was prohibited for a bit, you know?
Yes, in 2011.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, I mean, Indonesia had to do what they had to do kind of thing, right? So they're probably looking to other opportunities, same way that Northern Australia should look as well. At the same time, they should look at different markets so they're not so based into Indonesia. But mainly, I think it's all about finishing off the cattle, having a couple slaughterhouses here in this part of the country, a good slaughterhouse, then trying to sell beef.
So we might not see much live cattle going from Brazil to Indonesia. We may see boxed beef.
That's what I see happening in the long run, and that's what I think Northern Australia should go for.
Because I wondered that despite the distance and the challenges, that perhaps next year there may be a trial shipment. Would you expect that?
I wouldn't doubt that. Like I said, Brazilians will try, you know, even if it is to lose a bit of money, just to test it out. That's how we conquered all the markets that we have. And the U.S., to this day, they only buy canned beef from Brazil, canned meat from Brazil. And that's only because they don't want to open up other markets for us because we're big competitors and we're close to them. Whereas Australia is on the other side of the world, so I don't see us competing as much. But Brazilians, what do? They started buying slaughterhouses in Brazil, and now we have Brazilian owners owning slaughterhouses in the U.S. So that's the way to get around it.
Just finally, Rodolfo, when it comes to a potential live cattle trade between Brazil and Indonesia in Australia, producers are worried about the chances of foot and mouth disease getting to Indonesia. But what are the risks if they're only taking cattle from those FMD-free zones?
Oh, definitely, and I don't see the risk. I see what we're doing there in our country, and we have quite a few free zones and it's quite well-produced, and I don't see that risk or that problem happening. And I actually invited a lot of people from Australia, and they're putting a couple groups together to come visit us in Brazil so they see what we're all about. So fear comes from ignorance, from not knowing, from the unknown. So just come along and see, learn from us, learn with us, same way that we learn with other people. And I think that the food demand is so much bigger than production these days, and all these restraints and problems with all sorts of commercial problems, currency problems, and sanitary problems. So I think it's all about Brazil and Australia pairing up, teaming up, and producing more food for the world.
Hey, thank you so much for your time on the Country Hour, and it was wonderful to hear you yesterday at Food Futures.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I hope I'll be back soon.